Welcome to Culture Bites, where we take culture theory and turn it into everyday insights. We're powered by Human Synergistics, and our mission is to change the world one organization at a time. We can only do that together with our amazing community, so thank you for listening.
Welcome to Culture Bites. My name's Dominic Gawley. I'm a consultant with Human Synergistics Australia, and I'm joined on the show this week by our Managing Director, David Byram. Hey, DB.
Hey, Dom. How are you? It's great to be back on Culture Bites. We're getting the listens up, so it's really good. Hopefully, we've got another good bite session today for the team.
I hope we do. You know, we're in 2024, past the New Year, past Chinese New Year, but I always think you get a second bite of the apple of your New Year's resolutions. And I was thinking, DB, for our listeners out there, it's really about, if you haven't before, put culture on your radar this year.
It's a good point, Dom. I think culture is becoming more and more topical. Yeah, I'm pleased to say that from my experience and from what I'm hearing in the market, there's a greater awareness around cultures about behaviors and expectations of behavior in the organization now. There's a lot of organizations that are realizing that I can't just chase engagement. I can't chase the sugar hit of the free lunch or the movie tickets or the voucher. They're actually focusing on culture. And I have to say, Culture 2024 could be your sustainable advantage. We are in interesting times. And the only competitive advantage any organization truly has is the behavior of its people. So how do we actually capture those behaviors to be the best they can be? Everybody wants to come to work and have a great day. How do we encourage them through our expectations and what leaders are doing so they can be the best every day? Culture 2024, you've got me.
You know, you just, when you're talking about chasing the outcomes and that kind of stuff, reminded me of, I was in a culture session just the other day, and one of the tips I gave them was about, you know, don't paint the leaves green, water the roots.
Yeah.
And I think often people, hey, we want people to be, you know, less stressed, so we'll put on a yoga session. Okay, cool. There's nothing wrong with yoga. That's awesome. I love a yoga session. But what is the environment that we're creating where people are getting stressed out of the tree in the first place? You know, and how do we create one where, hey, we want performance for sure. We want excellence, but there's also support and, you know, challenging but realistic goals and so on.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with a stretching session, but it's going to last the length of the stretching session.
Right.
If I go back into an environment where I can't stretch metaphorically, or I can't voice my opinion, I can't actually share who I am today or what's going on for me or ask an open question without fear of repercussion, I'm not going to actually take the full value of that. So as an organization, how do you actually ensure that people can behave constructively? And that's the expectation, to behave constructively. And we know, right? So I do ideal culture or preferred culture across sectors, across levels, across age demographics. Everybody wants the same thing, right? And there's not a lot of difference, to be honest.
Yep.
Everybody wants an environment where they can be their best. They come to work where they can care, they can be courageous, they can be curious, they can share who they are, they got people around them that support them. That's what we all want, right?
Yep.
We want an environment. Now, the challenge for organizations is, how do we get your actual culture, those actual expectations of behavior, as close as we can to that ideal culture and keep working towards it? It never stops. How do we keep driving towards it? And often I say culture is real. It's a living, breathing aspect of your organization. In fact, it's the fundamental measure of your organization, because everything stems from culture. Are you caring for it? Like the roots on a tree, are you caring for it? Are you nurturing it? Are you watering it? Are you looking after it, giving it the right fertilizer? So actually ensure that your tree or your organizational culture can be the best it can be. If we do that well, you'll deliver on your performance metrics. And I know you'll deliver on that employee value proposition. You'll have improved discretionary effort. You'll have lower staff turnover. You'll have better safety performance in your facilities. Your customers will be more advocates for you. Your customers will be satisfied. Your customers will see that you're a true partner. And, you know, whoever your shareholders are, let them be, you're a listed company, so it's financial, or if you're a government entity and it's the broader societal expectations, you'll be delivering on those promises. That's the challenge. And it's a good challenge for 2024, because I think we have got a point now where we can consciously say that engagement's important, but engagement's driven by culture. All right. Now, you can get sugar hits to get engagement up a little bit. But until you get under the hood and really look at culture, that's when you get sustainable, long-term growth and change.
And that's that. Don't paint the leaves green. You can't just tell people, hey, be more motivated. Like if you focus on motivation, the outcome, I think it's going to be hard going. Or if you focus on satisfaction or saying you do the sugar hits, right? How do you go back in the chain to create the kind of environment where motivation can thrive, where satisfaction can thrive? And that's the culture.
Right? Well, and the other third leg of that stool for engagement is intention to stay.
Or intention to stay, yeah.
Like, please stay.
But please stay, or here's some money to keep you staying, right? But but that's a sugar hit as well.
It is a sugar hit.
And so, okay, well, how do we create the culture where motivation can succeed, where my effort makes a difference, I contribute to something meaningful, I'm learning and growing, supported by those around me, enjoy what we do. That's what actually motivates people long term. You know, yes, I can, you know, put a carrot in front of you short term to perhaps motivate you, but that doesn't sustain.
Not long term. And look, I'm going to steal one of you. I think it's one of your lines, Dom, that's been around for a long time now. You know, as an organization, we can create the sugar hits through, let it be lunches, coffees, rec rooms.
Mm.
Be careful not to pick any particular sector of the industry out at the moment. But there's all these things we provide. So, you know, recreation time, free meals. And, you know, you got to be careful because even a prison gives you 3 meals a day in rec time. Yeah, so your organization might actually be a prison.
But you've got no autonomy.
You've got no discretionary effort. I'm here because I'm tired to be here. We want people to be there because they want to be there.
Mm.
And how do we actually encourage them to actually be their best? All right, give their best effort. And everyone has a role to play. There's no doubt that leaders have the biggest role to play, and the most immediate leader has a significant role to play, but everyone has a role to play all throughout the organization, from the boardroom all the way through to the front line. Everyone has a role to play in culture, and everyone can change culture. And you can move culture really quickly. The more I play with it, the more I'm convinced that you can actually start changing culture in months. Now, is it a significant change? Well, probably not now in terms of circumplex. You're not going to jump a whole ring, but you can actually see some behavioral change, see different aspects of how people are more curious, more caring, and that starts to happen and creates momentum.
Mm.
So part of the challenge with culture is building that momentum.
Yep, it's the momentum. And I was talking to a group the other day and they asked me, DB, what's the difference between the organizations that are successful in this stuff and the ones that aren't? And to me, it came down to one word, which was ownership. It's the ones where people took ownership and didn't say, you know, point upwards and say, well, they've got to fix something, or point sideways and say, well, they've got to fix something, or down, they've got to fix something, but it's me. I will take ownership of making a difference and doing something. Now, hopefully, the people above us and beside us and below us do the same thing. And if we all do that, guess what? We're off to the races. You know, we're away. But it's not waiting for someone else to come and fix stuff either.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think one word's hard for me, Dom. I'd probably give you, but if I had to give you one word, it's going to play on your ownership, but I'd say it's courage.
Yep.
It's courage.
Thanks, courage. Yep.
Yeah. It's courage to actually live the culture I aspire to be and not live in the culture we have. So it's, if you have an environment where I can't be my best, you know, dare I say, it's probably easier just to live in the environment. And we see that through some of our research when we do different things at different levels. The ideal, in terms of our impact diagnostics, we often see in management impact, the ideal impact at a management impact level or a frontline level is a little bit more defensive. So it's a little bit more aligned to potentially what's going on culturally because they want to fit in.
Mm.
So I think my word would be courage.
Mm.
Courage to be you, courage to step out and lead the culture you aspire to be, courage to challenge, courage to show your confidence, courage to be caring.
I love that because it takes courage to step out of the prevailing culture and expectations and norms and do something different.
Absolutely.
And that to me is true leadership to actually do that. And that doesn't mean you have to have the title of leader either, by the way, but that's true leadership to step out and do something different and lead the culture. And I want to pick up a point you made earlier around, you know, you have a culture, but it was really about, are you proactive in actually shaping it, or does it just happen by chance?
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes that I use for clients that I work with at every level of the organization, are you in charge of your culture? Is your culture in charge of you?
Right.
And that goes back to that little point earlier, but culture is real, mm-hmm. right? It's there. Some people don't want to acknowledge their culture, but it is actually real. And you can either lead it or be led by it.
Mm.
And the challenge for all of us, and me included, is to lead the culture, all right? Lead your aspirations. And what I would say is your culture ripples, all right?
Mm.
So your culture will ripple back to your suppliers, your cultural ripple to your customers, 100%. Your cultural ripple to all those stakeholder groups that you work with. So how do you actually, you know, lead your culture, not being led by your culture? And at all levels, all right, we all play a role to play. It's interesting, I'll go back to your comment about leadership, and I've got a little cartoon that I use at the moment that basically says, leadership is not a title.
Mm.
It's just because you might be the managing director or the team leader, but leadership is not the title. Mm. Leadership is a bunch of behaviors
it's action.
That take people with you, all right? So just because you've got the title, let it be superintendent, it might be the manager or general manager. It's not a title. It's actually a series of behaviors.
Mm.
And I think the challenge I'd give everybody is just to think about, what's your impact?
Mm.
What are the behaviors that I'm creating? And am I leading this culture, or am I actually just living within the culture we've got?
And I was thinking, DB, you know, earlier you talked about the stretch session, you know, the yoga session, but then you drop them back into the environment. And I think in some ways, people, when I've seen organizations be really successful, it's also when they combine individual development and cultural development and team development, for that matter, together. It's the kind of combined arms, I think, really moves it, because, you know, we can develop constructive individuals, and that's awesome. But it can be tough going if we drop them back into a really defensive culture. Yes, you don't have to do what the culture says. There's an expectation, but you can do different. But it's harder. It's a lot easier if we also are working on that constructive culture. So now the two are aligned. So now it's actually, we're encouraged to be constructive. The expectation is to be constructive. You know, now, like, it's the multiplier effect, I think, on development work, when you work on both those levels at the same time.
Yeah, and if I was going to give you an additional multiplier to that, I think you're right. You're absolutely right. If we really want to maximize change, you've got to work at that individual, team, organizational level, and it does multiply, right?
Mm.
If we get individually, we're right, doesn't mean the team's going to be right.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got to work on the team as well. And just because I've got individuals right, I've got the team right, how do we ensure the organization's right, particularly from a systems point of view, and getting all those variables right? And then I'm going to give you another multiplier on the end. How's it actually been received by others, particularly those external stakeholder groups?
Yep.
So we might think we've nailed it. We've got it right. Individually, we're great. Our team's firing, and our culture, it's coming across as really constructive. We like working with each other. We're supportive. We're caring.
Mm.
But how's it seen by others?
Mm.
Is it actually seen by others the same way you see it internally?
Mm.
In some respects, is there alignment between self and others? Not an individual level.
As an organization.
At an organizational level. Yeah, is there an alignment between how we think we are and how others see us in terms of our expectations? And that's where true, if you get all four of those things right, you, as an organization, you'll fly.
Mm.
Because if others are seeing you as curious, responsive, courageous, willing to take on different risks and different challenges, willing to understand me, they're going to be more likely to come back to you as a potential partner, supplier, whatever that relationship you might be. So there's that fourth leg as well. So individual, team, organizational, and that external view.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, interesting thing. It's almost like an LSI 1 and 2, but for an organization.
It is a little bit like an LSI 1 and 2, but for an organization. And, you know, it's a little bit like getting feedback, right? When you go out to external bodies for feedback, it's a little bit nervous, right?
Mm.
What do they really think of us? Mm. But no, I have to say, it's beyond, what I'm talking about here is beyond just the basic customer satisfaction, advocacy type 0 to 10 net promoter score questions.
Right.
They're good, right? But let's dig under the hood, right? If I'm getting a net promoter score of 20 or 40, or for some people, unfortunately, minus 20, what are the behaviors that's driving it to be minus 20?
Right.
plus 20, 40 or 60. What does that end receipt and customer supplier actually see?
And again, don't just solve it with the sugar hit.
And don't solve it with the sugar hit. Yeah.
Yeah.
There'll be system issues, there'll be behavioral issues. And it's a great way, but it's like getting LSI. It's a bit nervous, right? When you go out and say, tell me how I behave with you. What's my impact on you?
Yeah.
It's very good though.
You know, and I guess for people listening to this where maybe, you know, we're talking about putting it on your radar, so they might not be aware of kind of how it works. I guess we're talking about the causal chain of, you know, there's the outcomes we're looking at and there's the things we measure, but also what's important to you as an organization. Because I think to your point from earlier, it's not just culture for culture's sake. And I think sometimes people can be doing it for that reason, like we're supposed to do it. But we want to link it to performance. As an organization, we exist to provide a service or good or something like that to someone. We've got stakeholders, be that customers or what have you. How effective are we at doing that?
Yeah, I'll give you one word in front of your performance, and that'd be sustainable.
Yep.
We are doing it for a reason. All right. And look, we're fortunate. We've got a wealth of data across organizations, across sectors, small, medium, large. We do know that constructive cultures lead to more sustainable performance as viewed by your employees, your customers, and your shareholders, stakeholder groups. So that's the key. It is about getting better performance. You know, you could probably get a sugar hit in performance by some of the defensive styles, but they won't last.
Right.
All right. And it'll come back. Now, how long will it last for? It might be 3 months, it might be 6 months, it might even be 5 years. But it won't last forever, right? Because if you're getting that sugar hit, it's probably driven by a high propensity for task and drive and competitive, and that's going to burn people out. And so you'll have a higher turnover.
Or drive other bad behaviors
and
internally.
Potentially drive some shortcutting behaviors, which could create other challenges for you. And it's quite interesting, right? Because if your environment is like that, and very topical last year was psychosocial hazards. And it links to that, right? So we know that a defensive culture also correlates with greater challenges for individuals in organizations. So therefore, if you want to build a constructive culture, it's going to improve all those aspects around individual health, well-being, and assuring everyone to be their best.
And we actually did an episode, DB, on linking our culture measure to the psychosocial hazards.
Episode.
Yeah, so if you're interested in how those connect together, they do. There are so many connections between them because, you know, and this is in the cause and effect kind of model. Hey, we want to create a constructive culture, but how do we do that? Well, it's the way we do things around here. We've got stated values, which are kind of explicit expectations of the culture we want. So we want teamwork and, you know, excellence and whatever it might be, innovation. But how do we also build it into the way we do stuff so it also sends the same message?
Absolutely. You know, culture is your only true competitive advantage. And a lot of organizations go, oh, we've got our technology, we've got our customers. And as time goes on and we're seeing what's happening with the world of technology and AI and we're in a very much changing world, your only true competitive advantage sustainably is the behaviors of your people.
Yeah.
All right. Now, wouldn't every organization be nailing it if every employee could be the best they could be and really giving their best and wanting to give their best every day? And therefore, you're going to be successful for the long haul. And that's why we do what we do. We want to help organizations be the best they can be. We want to help teams be the best they can be. And we want to help individuals be the best they can be. That's why I get out of bed every morning. I get out of bed to actually drive those three mantras, right? If we can do that, we will exceed and, dare I say, we'll hit our mission of changing the world one organization at a time through our individual team and organizational contributions.
I love it, DB. That's probably a good note to end on. You know, if culture hasn't been on your radar in the past, you know, this is the year to put it on. And so if you want to learn more, reach out to us. Happy to chat it through. Reach out to your client service manager. You reach out to DB or I, we're happy to have a chat to you. So,
and I think some of our original, go back to some of the archives in Culture Bites, there's a whole series of how culture works.
A bunch. Some of the first episodes, DB, I think it's like episode 6 or something maybe.
Wow. And what are we up to now? 100 and...
200 and something.
200 and something. Great work, Dom. Congratulations. Yeah, and we're pleased to give these podcasts. And, you know, we're pleased to be doing it from our Blue Street office in North Sydney. So drop by and see us at 2 Blue Street.
All right. Thanks, DB.
Thanks, Dom. Stay well.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Culture Bites. If you enjoy the show, remember to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, leave us a review. It helps other people to find the show. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, email podcast@human-synergistics.com.au. We'd love to answer it. This podcast is copyright by Human Synergistics Australia, all rights reserved. To learn more about what we do, visit human-synergistics.com.au.